Hello and welcome to Target Zero Hunger, a podcast that explores the food challenges and solutions of our time. I'm your host, Charlotta Lomas. Globally, we're eating more fish than ever before, 150 million tonnes per year. And that's set to increase as we add another couple of billion people to the planet in the coming decades. Fishing is big business, but overfishing is threatening our fish supplies. There are simply too many boats chasing too few fish. But does this mean we're approaching a fish limit? To find out more, we're joined in the studio by Manuel Baranger, lead author of the latest State of the World's Fisheries and Aquaculture Report and Director of Fisheries and Aquaculture at FAO. Welcome, Manuel.
Good afternoon.
So what's the status of the world's fish stocks at the moment, and are we running out of fish?
No, we're not running out of fish. In fact, the volume of fisheries, capture fisheries that we extract every year has remained very constant, very stable over the last 25 years. But that does not mean that our stocks are all healthy. We estimate that about one in every three stocks is overfished. And that means that we need to rebuild those stocks in order to produce the maximum level that they can in order to feed us.
So how do you even measure this exactly? How do you know that there's overfishing? How do you know which species are in decline?
Well, that's a very good question and a very difficult one. Technically, what FAO does is since 1974, we monitor about 500 fish stocks worldwide every year. And that allows us to estimate how many of them are becoming overfished, how many of them remained overfished, or how many of them have gone out of overfishing and become more sustainable. And based on those 500 stocks, we estimate that one every three are overfished. Worryingly, only 10% of stocks were overfished in the 1970s. So in that period, between the 1970s and now, we've actually lost potential for about 20% of the world's stocks.
So overfishing is, of course, an international problem. But are there particular problem hotspots?
Yes, we have a number of hotspots in terms of overfishing. So the worst spots, I would say, the Mediterranean and the Black Sea, both of them with over 60% of the stocks being overfished, are in a very serious state. And in fact, the southern tip of the South American continent on both sides, the Pacific and the Atlantic, are also in a bad state with near 60% of the stocks being overfished.
So which species are currently most at risk or most overfished?
So I would say that as a group, tunas in general are the most at risk. Over 40% of the tunas are overfished. They are very mobile species, very widely distributed. They're very difficult to track and very difficult to manage properly. So 40% are overfished. However, the most abundant tuna that we catch, skipjack tuna, which you would see in every tuna can, and in fact in most of the sashimi and sushi markets, that is very sustainable. So tuna is a big group and it includes many species. In fact, bluefin tuna is the worst of the lot, very, very overexploited, both in the Pacific and the Atlantic. And that is a species that needs significant effort. But unfortunately, there are too many boats fishing too few fish.
And so what are the main drivers of overfishing?
So first of all, the main cause of overfishing is poor management. In order to fish properly, we need proper management measures. We know that fisheries management works. So for example, in the US, 75% of the stocks are sustainably fished, and there were only 50% sustainably fished 10 years ago. So proper fisheries management works. So what we need for that is political commitment to implement and to monitor and to enforce measures so that fisheries become sustainable. That is the main reason for overfishing. Demand, of course, pushes overfishing, but demand can be controlled by supply if you put proper management measures in place. If you don't have those measures, then not only you have overfishing, you actually encourage illegal activity, illegal, unregulated and unreported fishing, which benefits from the fact that in some places management is not properly enforced, there's not sufficient infrastructure, and therefore they benefit from that vacuum.
So as I understand it, it all basically comes down to political will.
It is. Political will is the most important element. But there's one thing that is also important to recognize. We have seen over time that sustainability is improving in the developed regions and it is deteriorating in developing regions. So this dichotomy between the two worlds is quite important to address because we put at risk food security in the future. And in the places where fisheries management is deteriorating, tends to coincide with areas where there's either political conflict or other sort of conflict, poverty and hunger, and the priority for sustaining resources is lower than other priorities.
Is aquaculture the solution for overfishing?
No, I wouldn't see aquaculture as a solution to overfishing. What aquaculture does is provide a very nutritious new source of animal protein, which is extremely required, demanded by society. So over the last 5 decades, aquaculture has been the fastest growing food production system, year on year. Why is that? Well, because there's a demand and there's a potential. So in that respect, no, it doesn't solve overfishing, but it just allows societies to change their habits and start eating more fish without putting more pressure on natural resources.
How sustainable is it?
Like any food production system, aquaculture has challenges. There is a footprint, an ecological footprint on any food production system. What matters perhaps, and is a question that has not been answered yet, is what trade-offs are we prepared to accept in terms of providing nutritious food for everyone? Aquaculture faces the challenges of, for example, the use of antibiotics to control disease, also the issue of how much environmental impact it produces. But those are not new in an animal husbandry industry. We just have to deal with them.
So why are we eating more fish than ever before?
Very good question. Well, first of all, in 1960, we were eating about 9 kilograms per person per year of fish. And now we eat over 20 kilograms per person per year. So more than double. Why is that? Well, fundamentally, because as we lift societies out of poverty, they want better food, more nutritious food, and they tend to eat more animal protein. So that is the fundamental element. We are eating more protein because less of us are poor, which is a good thing, and also because there's more of us.
So as a consumer, how can I learn where the fish on my dinner plate is coming from and that I'm not contributing to the problem of overfishing?
So there's a lot of information already available out there. If you look at the labels in the supermarket when you buy fish, you will see a lot of information there already, particularly what species it is, where is it caught, and therefore where has it been transported to. Some of that information already tells you a lot about whether to trust that that fish is sustainably caught. But it doesn't tell you all the information. And it doesn't tell you all the information because not all of it is known. So it depends on whether you trust the person that is selling you that product and whether you trust the history of that particular business. FAO is working very closely with private businesses in particular in developing these traceability standards. What are the schemes that you need to put in place that would force the producer to label more and more the product so that there's more and more information and therefore more trust from the consumer?
What do you imagine that looking like?
So blockchain technology is a new technology that tracks the process that products go through, whether it is transformational process or simply transport processes, whereby every step of the way is locked and is locked in a way that is transparent to anyone that wants to look at it, and it can't be edited by anybody. So that if something goes from Italy to Germany, that is tracked and you cannot modify that and say, no, actually, it was not coming from Italy in the first place. That's what blockchain technology is. It's a very new technology, very much in vogue at the moment, and we feel that it's going to happen and be implemented to all food production industries as well.
And we can't talk about fish and oceans without talking about climate change. What impact is climate change having on fish, and what do you expect to see?
So our information says that overall, in terms of global production, that might not change very much as a result of climate change, at least over the next 5-6 decades. But it might actually change geographically significantly, so that the areas of production might change. Places where now we have big fisheries might actually have much lower, much smaller fisheries, and other places where fisheries are not very much an issue currently might become very abundant. So that will require significant adaptation. And in general, we think that the tropical areas will suffer the most. Productivity will decline, and high latitude areas, polar areas, will increase their production. So there's a movement of fish from the tropics towards the high latitudes. That needs change in first the industries that exploit the resource, the industries that transform that resource, and significant challenges to the communities that depend on that resource.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
That was Manuel Baranger, Director of Fisheries and Aquaculture Policy and Resources at the Food and Agricultural Organization, FAO.